to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Now your host, Angelo Petitti.
Good morning and welcome to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. We had a beautiful week. We had a really nice rain yesterday and last night, which we really needed. But some areas got it too much in a very heavy, which most of the times when it's that dry, it just runs off. So make sure that things are still well watered, because it, even though we had a little bit of the moisture, the ground was fairly dry, so it takes a little bit more to penetrate it. So you want to make sure that your plants are really deep watered so that they will get back to where they need to be. The temperature is going to, seems like they're going to be cooler for the next few days. That will really help, especially the trees and shrubs, especially something that's been new planted or new lawns, that definitely will help sustain, those plants. But just keep an eye on the watering, especially at this time of the year where the moisture evaporates much, much faster. One of the things, that you want to really stay on top of, with the weather that we have had, we've had really a lot of shifts in temperature. We've had some heat, then we've had some cool, we had some dry, dry periods, and then we've had some wet periods. Things are really kind of, especially the vegetables seems like they're having a little bit of a tougher time this year than normal. You want to kind of take a look at, your roses, make sure that, take off all the spent flowers. And this is about the last time you want to feed them. You want to feed them about the middle of August. It's kind of the cutoff time. Feed them heavy. Use rose tone. And you're pretty well done for the year from here on, just to make sure that you take off all the spent flowers on them. They should, put on quite a blooming show, for the rest of, the rest of the season. You're also starting to see a lot of the moths flying around, especially around the lawn. You want to use home defense granules for lawns. That will take care of it. You see these little spider webs, on the lawn. That's, pretty much what that is. And this is the time that, really the lawns get attacked a lot by insects. So also diseases. So you want to make sure that you keep an eye on that. Spider mites have been extremely active, and this cool weather now is also going to make them even more active. So make sure that, you treat your plants with defense. With the Bonide tree and shrub protection around the around the base. You just drench the bottom of it, and that will take care of it. But especially on burning bush, you want to make sure that you look at them on junipers, roses. Keep an eye, extra eye on them. If you see discoloration, you start to see that the color kind of starts to fade off, and on the burning bush especially, they're probably the most susceptible. You'll start to see the leaves kind of drop off. Make sure that that you go ahead and take care of them. Also on the vegetables, keep an eye on for the especially on the cucumbers and the squash, for the powder mildew. This is the time that you'll start to see some of it. If some of the leaves are too heavily infested, just cut them off and just take them off from there. Just use a copper fungicide on them. As you see that the white film just started to form on the foliage, go ahead and do that. Also the a lot of the vegetables and herbs, just keep an eye out for insects, chewing insects. If you start to see little holes on there, Captain Jack's is really the most, best thing to use around. It's organic. It works very, very well on vegetables. You just want to keep an eye on that, to make sure that, you don't let that, get too far ahead of it. Also on the lawns, this is really the time that you want to start thinking about renovating a lawn. If you have a lawn that either it's heavily infested with weeds, and you want to kind of get rid of it and get a new lawn in there, one of the easiest ways to do it, you go ahead and, cut your lawn down, to about as low as the lawnmower will go. And once you have done that, I would go ahead and, kill the lawn with Roundup, use a concentrated Roundup. Takes about 2 weeks for that to be totally, effective and done. Then after that, just, get a detacher. The detacher's got blades underneath. Make sure that the blades sink into the ground about between half and three quarters of an inch. Run that through both ways. Make sure that you really scout it well. Remove all the debris, and then after that, just go ahead and put the seed down, put the fertilizer, put the lime, and if you've had any grub problems at that time, just go ahead and put the grow bags down, water it in. All you have to do is just keep it moist, and you should have a brand new beautiful lawn in about 3 to 4 weeks. You want to do this, the best, the most ideal time to get this done is between the middle of August and the middle of September. The moisture is generally better than normal, but you need some moisture, but you don't want to be too wet when you do it. You want to have a little bit of moisture in the soil, but you don't want it to be, super dry. You don't want it to be super wet, because it'll make a real mess, a lot harder to do. If you have a lawn that you just have a lot of weeds in there, but the lawn, most of the lawn is still in pretty good shape, the thing to do at this time is just go ahead and use a weed killer. You can use Weed Be Gone. That will take care of most weeds. If you have crabgrass in there, use Weed Be Gone with crabgrass killer. That will take care of it. So go ahead and do that. Wait about 3-4 days. Then same thing there. Cut your lawn down as low as the lawnmower will go. After you have done that, use the detacher. And then after that, just go ahead and seed. Put the seed down, put the fertilizer, put the lime. And let's say if you had grubs before, just go ahead and put a grub control down. You can renovate the lawn and have a brand new lawn in a very, very short period of time with very little labor and very little cost, and really wind up with really excellent results. This is also, look for the perennials. Make sure that anything that's spent, go ahead and cut that. Remove all the dead flowers, all the dead stems. If perennials are totally down blooming, just go ahead and cut them back halfway so that they can regenerate some foliage. This is also a great time to go ahead and transplant and split, hostas, daylilies, astilbes, peonies. This is the time to do that. So basically what you do, you go ahead and cut the all the foliage off, down to like about maybe 2 to 3 or 4 inches. Once you have done that, dig up the whole clump. And the peonies, make sure that you really go and look for the eyes on the on top of the crown. And as you open it up, the eyes are very visible on top, the new eyes on there. You want to leave between 3 and 5 eyes per clump. And then just go ahead and split them, replant them. The whole thing there, you have to make sure that when you go to replant them, you don't put them too deep. You really want to keep the eyes at the same level of the soil as they were before. So if you put them too deep, the plants will survive, but you're going to find that the blooming is going to be either non-existent or very poor. So make sure that when you go to replant them, that you really pay attention to that soil level. The hostas and the daylilies and the astilbe, you pretty much just go ahead and, the same thing there, get the clump out. On the hosta, you want to leave about 5 eyes on there, cut them up and just go ahead and replant them, give them some room. The daylilies, especially the stelladores, they become kind of really crowded, on the rhizome. So when you see that, you want to go ahead and open them up, leave about 5 or 6 eyes, and when you replant them, give them some space so they have some time to regrow and really get back to a nice clump in there. This is also the time that your spireas, a lot of your blooming plants, weigelias, hydrangeas, if they have spent flowers on them, just go ahead and cut the flowers off. Like on the hydrangeas, if you cut the flowers off, chances are they will rebloom, especially the paniculatas and all the reblooming microphyllias. They will all rebloom, but you have to cut the old flowers off, and they will keep it right into the blooming cycle. Also on the crops, as far as vegetables, this is really a great time for you to go ahead and seed all your new your cold crops like escarole, endive, chicory, radicchio, anise, collards, those are all crops that they'll do extremely, extremely well in the fall. You want to sow them now so they are ready for transplant at the end of August, and you'll be able to really harvest from the whole month of September into October, November. And then when it comes in December, you can actually take some foliage, like leaves and that you collect, just go ahead and cover the crop with the leaves, and you will find that in December and January, unless we get into zero temperatures, you will find that those greens will hold up very well, but they will be also extremely, extremely sweet. The colder it gets, the sweeter they get. So this is some of the time. This is the time to do all of that. This is also the time, if you want to add some color, if you see that your flowering, beds are getting to be a little bit dull or not enough color in there, you can go ahead and add some hibiscus to your perennial gardens. I don't know if you've seen all these new varieties of hibiscus. They're much more dwarf, beautiful dinner plate flowers. They keep right on blooming. Now, one thing about the hibiscus, the more you remove of, if you're really paying attention to remove the old flowers before they go to seed, you can actually keep hibiscus in bloom all the way into the end of September, October, the whole time. They will keep regenerating. The same thing with the butterfly bushes. Every couple of weeks, go through, remove some of the old flowers, and you will find that they will keep regenerating all new color. This is also the last time to feed all your flowering shrubs. You really want to be done by the middle of August. After the middle of August, you really don't want to be feeding those plants. If you do, then new growth is way too tender. If we get into a freezing late October, November, generally you wind up with a lot of diebacks, so you do more damage than good. So by the middle of August, you want to pretty much be done, doing the doing the planting in there. You can also add some nice rudbeckias for color at this time of the year. There's still a lot of annual color that you can add. So if you're lacking color, very, very easy to do. Keep an eye on your annuals. Make sure that you keep cutting back and feeding. The more you cut your annuals, the more you keep those baskets or annuals on the ground. If you keep them tight, if you keep removing some of the old wood and keep them well fed, Osmocote is the best thing to use on them. You will find that they will keep right on going, and they will keep giving the color all the way through into September, October, and sometimes also November. So this month is kind of a critical time to kind of really get things set up to perform well in September, October, and November. So just to, kind of pay attention to some of these things that they are really critical. And the same thing, especially on your shrubs, look for insect. We're having this kind of all over the board weather with the heat and the cool. That really creates just a perfect environment for insects to attack the shrubs, also attack the lawns. So just to be a little bit more aware of it. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number is area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. We're going to take a short pause. We will be right back.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
We're back. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. I want to thank Noel for doing the show for the last 2 weeks. I was in Ireland for a week or so, and what a beautiful country, and what a amazing, just wonderful people. Had a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. Morning, Howard Angelo.
Morning, Angelo.
Morning, how are we doing?
Great, how are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Good. I had bought a trumpet vine plant from your Strongsville store at the end of June, planted it. It's growing very well, but I haven't gotten any blooms.
The buds should just start now. Depending on how they were trimmed and depending on how old they are, sometimes it takes a year or two before they really get to be mature enough to start blooming. Generally, the first year you should still get a few blooms sparse, but they're very reliable bloomers. If they don't bloom, it's an age factor on it. But they will bloom, and as I said, they are very, very reliable. So I wouldn't worry about it. Just more of an age factor on it.
Okay, because it's growing very well. Yep. It's, you know, it's grown a couple feet. So
yeah, you need some of the old wood on there. The more old wood you have on there, that's really that's why it takes the age for them to bloom. You have to have more old wood that the new wood comes out of, and that's where the buds get set on.
And they usually bloom most of the summer?
They bloom most of the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually start mid to late June all the way into late September. And actually, as the plant gets older, the more you trim, the more new growth you will get and the more flower you will get.
Oh, all right. Great. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Morgan Arangelo.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing? Excellent. Thank you.
I have a question regarding plum trees. I want to know what variety would do well in this region. How big is the biggest one that I could actually transplant? Ideal location, all that stuff.
The plum, you know, the Italian prune, they do extremely well here. The Santa Rosa is a really good variety that does very well over here. The plums do pretty good here. The only thing that you have, two things you got to make sure with plums. They need a sunny area. They need a well-drained area. They don't like wet ground. So, don't look for an area where water does not sit. Those are the two main ingredients. You want to make sure that every year they'll fruit on new growth. So after the plant gets established and they'll fruit after generally a couple of years. You know, they're early fruiters. You know, they don't need a lot of years to fruit. And you want to stay on top of your sprays. You want to make sure that the best thing to use on them is all season oil, which is an organic. And you want to make sure that you really don't let any of the insects harbor in there. Their bark sometimes has a little bit of a flaking on it, which allows areas for the insects to lay their eggs. So you want to make sure that when it comes in early spring, before the plants start to grow, that you go ahead and give it a really good spray of oil so that it gets penetrates into the skin and they'll kill all. If there's any eggs in there, they get suffocated. Those will do, extremely, extremely well here. Very, very easy to grow. They're good growers. They get to be, a semi-dwarf plum gets to be about 12 foot in height and probably about 8-10 feet in width.
Okay. When should I plant it, and am I going to be battling deer?
You'd probably be better if you can, I don't know what varieties, how much of that we have in the stores now, but if you find the varieties there, the fall is a much better time to plant them so that they get fully established for spring. And generally, you should see, if you can do that, you should see fruit there next year on the tree.
Okay. That sounds great. Thanks for your
help. All right. Well, you have a great day. Yep. Bye-bye. Morgan Arangelo.
Morning, Angelo.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Good, good.
I have two questions. I have endless summer hydrangea that I had been in, and it's doing very poorly this year. And I wanted to transplant it. Can I do it now?
I would wait until mid-September.
Oh, mid-September, okay.
Yeah, let it, even though like this week we're going to have a cool week, but September is a much better time. What I would do is when you're ready to plant it, I would trim it back at that time, not heavy, just kind of shape it a little bit. Wet it down, make sure that it's nice and moist the day before, and then prepare the hole, dig the plant out, and transplant it. But after the middle of September, they'll do much, much better than taking a chance, just in case we get into a hot period. And all you have to do is just keep for about 2 weeks, just keep an eye on the moisture so it doesn't dehydrate.
Okay. And my second question was, you had last year advertised a small little lilac that was supposed to be a rebloomer.
Yeah, that's the bloomerang, the dark purple.
Yes, and so I thought I had bought one, and I had planted it, and it bloomed lovely this spring, but I haven't had a bloom since.
Have you trimmed it?
Yes, I trimmed it down.
Yeah, it will. It will.
Okay.
They will rebloom through the summer sporadically, and then you'll see this fall they'll put on a whole new show of blooms on there. They're very reliable, and they as they get more mature, you will find that they'll get better and better and better with the rebloom. But the dark purple is by far the best one.
Okay, well, I'm a watch for it.
Okay.
Thank you much.
All right.
Have a good one.
Have a great day. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Morning, Angelo. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Angelo. How are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
Good. It's nice to have you back.
Good to be back.
I have a question about some hostas I put in. I put them in May, towards the end of May, and put Biotone in the hole. And I believe I fed them Osmocote. The variety is, I think it's Patriot. They just don't look like they're growing at all. They look the same as when I put them in. They get some morning sun, and then about 3-4 o'clock, the shade comes in. And I was wondering, should they be bigger? Should I have fed them something else?
No, no. You did everything right, and the condition where they're at is right. Hosta, generally, the first year, they will focus on getting their roots really established. Where you're going to see that plant get to be double the size or more will be next year.
Oh,
but
okay.
But when by the time you get into May, you know, you're starting off with a young plant, so basically what happens, they will go ahead and push all the foliage out, and then they're pretty well done. When they get transplanted, all their energy goes into establishing the new root system.
Okay.
So basically what you have done now, you've got the plant set up for the new roots and also the new eyes that you're going to see next year. Look for that next year to be about double the size, and the variety that you got is an excellent variety. Patriot is still one of the best of the new varieties of Astas that came out about 7, 8, 10 years ago. It's still one of the best ones. You'll be very, very happy with it. Good choice. But all it's doing now, it's getting all the roots into the ground, and generally by the time middle of July on, the hostas pretty much shut down as far as growth is concerned.
Okay.
So you'll see, but you will not be disappointed size-wise next year. You'll look at that plant to be at least double what it is now.
Oh, great. Should I have fed it like Plantone and Irontone?
Yeah, what you want to do with that is in the spring, you know, when it comes in the early spring, like the end of March, as soon as it comes up, you start to see the eyes open up. Just go ahead and feed it, you know, Halitone and Irontone or Plantone and Irontone, both of them work very well on that one. Just put that on, and then when it comes the end of June, middle of July, do it again, and you're pretty well done for the year after that. The foliage on that plant is heavy, so the slugs and it's very slug resistant. It doesn't get beaten up like some of the older varieties did. You will find that the foliage stays nice and very vibrant. And if you ever get to where in the summertime it does not. It looks kind of wore out in that. Another thing that you can do with hosta, when it comes the mid to late July or early August, you can actually cut them down to the ground, down to about 2 to 3 inches, feed them Osmocote at that time, and you will find that they will actually come back up, and they will be absolutely spectacular all the way into the end of the season. There's some varieties that the weather, the heat beats them up, and some varieties that the heat doesn't do that to. But if you have any varieties that do that, that's another thing that you can do at that time of the year to keep them nice and young.
Okay, so I should really have fed them the Plantone and Irontone.
Yeah. You did okay with Osmocote. You did not do I said all the plant focused on was establishing new roots. That's what I did.
Okay.
All right.
Another question
I'm going to have to take a break for the news. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll follow up after the news. You're listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number 216-578-1100. We'll take a short pause for the news. We'll be right back.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
We're back. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, I have Weigelia. They're called My Monet brand variety. And I usually trim them to shape them, but they're really getting a little full. So I was wondering, what's the best time to cut them? Can I do it not to cut them hard so I can, you know, get them small again.
Yeah, what I would do is I would shape them now. You can go ahead and do that, and then when it comes in late March, that is the time that you can actually go ahead and cut those back down to like a 8 to 10 inch mound. And also, when you do that, go inside of it. If you see any wood that's got a lot of flaking on the bark. That means that the wood is pretty old. Go ahead and cut that right at ground level. They fill out and rejuvenate beautifully every year. That is one of the best white azaleas that they've come up with in the last 10 years.
Oh, it is beautiful.
Through the summer, just shape it. And when it comes in the spring, every spring, excuse me, when it comes the end of March, that is the time that you can really cut it hard and, bring it down, and it'll just stay that way pretty much all summer.
Okay, and one quick question, Angelo. Our lawn is getting brown spots. I don't know whether it's a disease or my husband was going to put some 7 on it.
It's a fungus on there. I would just go ahead and spray it with a fungicide. You can use copper fungicide on it. That will stop it. That has been really caused by the moisture and some of this swinging temperatures with the cool and the hot. But that will stop it, and it pretty much you should get a lot of new growth now as we get in the fall. Right now, shape it, spray it with the fungicide, and you'll be pretty well set.
All right. Thank you, Anthony.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Morning, Rangelo.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
I have two things. One is on the hibiscus that you said to cut back to keep it flowering. Do you just remove the flower, or do you actually cut the whole, stem?
No, you go down about 2 nodes. Yeah, when you look at the where the flower is, you'll see that right under there, there's a break in the leaf.
Uh-huh.
And then you go one more node, you make the cut over there, and that's when you make the cut needs to be about a quarter inch above the node, and you will see that's where the new growth comes up, and that's where you'll get the new blooms on.
Oh, so not just removing the flower. Okay, gotcha.
No, you remove the flower, you go one node, like I said, right underneath the flower is one node, and then one more node, that's where you make the cut.
Okay. And then my second thing is I'm just really concerned about the loss of the honeybees and whatnot, because obviously that's why we eat. And I heard some people say that a lot of these products, like 7 and 8 and the Bear 3-in-1, those are so toxic to bees. And I think people are just unaware and willy-nilly spraying everything.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the spraying, like everything else, there's got to be a balance, and you just cannot overdo. You can just keep doing it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance to it. The 7 and the 8, I don't think that's where the damage comes from. I think more from when you get into the systemics.
Uh-huh.
I think that is where that stays into the plant. I think that's where you're going to get more.
Okay.
What I can tell you is, at our nursery, where we grow, all the color and all that, there's millions of bees. You can even walk through there right now with the amount of, because everything is in color. All the hydrangeas are in color.
Okay.
I think one of the things that, we all have to, one, we have to be conscious of it, and we have to be responsible for that.
Correct.
Another thing is, the more, as we put more color in, kind of be aware of the flowers and the plants that really attract the bees, that also generates, that's what generates them. But at the nursery, we have had no shortage of bees. There's literally, if you go at our nursery, we grow all the color there now. You cannot even walk through there. There's millions of honeybees, through that place.
Okay.
It's a balance of the two.
So keep away from maybe the systemics.
The systemics is the ones that really, have a lot more effect than anything else.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Thanks, Angelo.
Another thing, the organics today are getting better and better and better.
Like the dead brood bug?
Like dead brood. Okay. That one there is, it's an excellent one. Aspoma, all the product that Aspoma makes, they're all 100% organic. And they're, like I said, in the beginning, they were not very effective, But now they're really getting, every year, they're improving them more and more so that they really help, you know, with the maintenance that we need to have.
Espoma, okay. Yep. All right.
All right. Have a
Thanks,
great day.
Angelo.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Yeah,
all right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Morgan or Angelo?
Angelo?
Yes, good morning.
Hi. Hey, I have a crabgrass question. We had, I had done all the steps, you know, one, so the pre-emergent was put on the grass, but there are a couple of places, you know, where I may have missed, and so there's some crabgrass coming up, and I sprayed that, but we have a field out in the back that has lots of crabgrass. When you mow the grass, does the crabgrass spread on the blade of the mower?
It actually could.
Okay.
If it's seeded, it could.
Okay.
What you have done, it's really the right steps.
Okay.
You know, put the pre-emergent, and then when you get to where if you see some in there,
yes.
Now is the time to do it because, especially as we get into this cool weather that we're having now, that's when it grows the best.
Okay.
As you get the new growth on there, hit it with that. We Be Gone Plus Crabgrass Control does a phenomenal job. It just did it with that, and that's pretty well gone.
Oh, good. Now, would it help to, once it's dead, the little crabgrass plant, pull it out and put grass seed on
No,
it?
I would just go ahead and put it. You don't have to pull it out. Just put a little bit of grass seed right over the dead spot.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Angelo.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
Oh, you also. Bye.
Bye-bye. Morning, Yara Angelo.
Good morning,
Angelo. Good morning. How are we doing?
Okay. I have just a couple questions. I have a hydrangea, All Summer Beauty, and the spent flowers, how far down do I cut the stalk?
Just about two nodes down.
Two nodes,
yeah.
Okay.
And the All Summer Beauty is a rebloomer, I would give it the last feeding now.
Okay.
And then there should be, you should get plenty of growth through the summer, through the rest of the summer, and you should have a lot of new buds on there for them to bloom in September and October.
Okay. Now, when I trim it, it's getting a little, you know, in the space it's on, it's getting a little big. How and when do I trim it?
The best time to trim it is in the spring, the end of March.
Okay.
So at that time, what you want to do is wait until the buds actually start to show.
Okay.
The way you do that, you'll see that, you know, the stems are, you know, there's no foliage on there.
Yeah.
As used to, when the buds swell to the size of a bean.
Okay.
Then you know what's alive and what's dead. So anything that on top of it that dehydrates, just go ahead and cut that back and reshape it. Now you can go ahead and cut that back down a little bit more than that if the plant is too big. But another thing that you want to do is at that time of the year, kind of look inside the plant, and anything that has a silvery skin, you go ahead and cut that at ground level.
Okay.
That's a three-year wood. You really want to keep a one-year and two-year wood on there and also open up the area for more growth to come.
What if the 2 and 3 year growth is kind of high already? If I wait for buds, then that's going to be the height, right?
Yeah, they'll be. Yeah, you wait, and then when it comes in the spring, you can go ahead and cut it down more. But they do become pretty good size. And that plant is it's a 4 foot. It's going to get 4 foot wide,
mm-hmm.
and generally by 3 feet high. That's kind of pretty much the size of that plant. On a yearly basis, that's what it's going to be.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And if it's too big for the space that it's at, they move very easily. So, if you need to move it to a space where you got the room to do it, I would go ahead and, plan on doing that if that is the case.
Yeah, because it's in a little triangle right between the walk and my driveway. It's a little triangle area.
Yeah, there may not be, the space may not be big enough for it.
Yeah.
You can either move it in, mid-September, late September, or you can move it next spring at the end of March.
Okay, all right. One other quick question on orchids. When they're spent, how far down do I cut those stalks?
You want to, from the bottom up, you want to leave about three nodes.
From the bottom up. Okay, three nodes up, and then cut it.
And then cut it.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much.
You have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Morning, Yara Grangelo.
Good morning, Yara.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good. I have a question on my Brunera. I have a couple different varieties.
Uh-huh.
And the variegated ones, again this year, are getting a lot of leaves turning black.
Yeah, it's a fungus that's basically caused by the moisture. They also spend, especially the older variety, the one that the bigger leaf that's got a kind of a green stripe to it. That one there, it's one of the original varieties. That one that has a tendency to get more of the fungus on it. The best way to prevent that, when you get into mid to late June, give it every couple of weeks a little shot of copper fungicide. You will prevent that. Another thing that you can do there, would go there and remove all the leaves that they turn black. You can also cut, you know, some of the leaves back, feed it, and we'll actually regenerate all new foliage right now, which will be absolutely beautiful between now and the end of October.
So how much of them can I cut off?
You can actually cut it down to about 4 to 5 inches, and it will regenerate, feed it with Osmocote, and will regenerate all new foliage out.
They'll be cutting off all the leaves, though.
They'll be cutting off all, yeah. And the ones that they got the fungus on it, if it's more of the plants of the foliage damaged, you can go ahead and actually cut them back, and they will relief out, and there will be absolutely brand new foliage on it. Or just go ahead and remove all the leaves that have turned black, and just cut them down at ground level. Feed them, and then we'll go ahead and restart all over again.
Does that fungus carry over year to year? Because I had
they are susceptible to it. It's something that you have to prevent. When it comes the end of June, as we start to get into more of that heat with high humidity, that is when you have to start spraying with the fungicide on it.
Okay.
Copper fungicide is it's organic, it's very easy to use, and it does work phenomenal.
Okay. And one other question about them. Some of them, and I have a lot, mostly Jack Frost,
mm-hmm.
some of them seem to be reverting to all green. They're losing the white frosty variegation.
Yeah, Jack Frost will do that. As it gets older, you will get some. You know, the best thing to do is you see one that starts, as it starts, just right into the ground. You can see as you look down, you can see the rhizomes on there. You can actually cut that off and remove it.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
Bye bye.
Morgan Arangelo. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I had a question about milkweed. When do I cut this down?
I would wait until end of September, October. I would keep it up as long as it looks good.
Right.
When it starts to look to where the leaves are, kind of turning yellow, and they're starting to fade out, then I would go ahead and cut the whole bush down to the ground.
And do I understand right that wasps lay eggs on this, and it has something to do with the monarch butterflies?
Yeah, the wasps, not just wasps, you know, pretty much bees, and that they all go out and lay the eggs in anywhere where you see that there's color and where they're attracted to. That's where they're going to lay their eggs.
Oh,
yes, but it does. Milkweed is definitely one of the major natural perennials that we have. That it does. It has a lot to do, especially with monarchs. There's a lot of that's where it's one of their favorite plants that they go on. So you definitely want to make sure that you have them around, don't cut them down up until they're all done at the end of the season. Generally, they'll start to turn to where they're not very attractive towards the end of September or middle of October.
Okay, and also, can I transplant part of my ornamental grass now?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, what dig it out. The only thing that you have to make sure of for about 2 weeks, keep an eye on the moisture. Make sure that it stays moist. It does not dry up. If it dries up, it'll kind of shrink back. You want that to be fully rooted, before we go into winter. So for about after you transplant it, after about two weeks, just be very conscious of the watering, and you'll find that they'll do very, very well. But timing is good to do that.
Also, someone gave me a planter of black-eyed Susans. They're really crowded in there. Is that a perennial?
It's a perennial. That's a perennial.
So I could take it out of the pot and plant it, in the ground then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the same thing there. For about 2 weeks, just be very aware of the watering. It takes about between 2 and 3 weeks for them to throw roots into the soil so that they can sustain themselves into a dry period.
Okay. And also, we have a square foot garden, several of them, but I notice a white fungus that is very hard on the wood. What is that from?
On the wood where you have the, you're talking about like the 2x4s or the 2x6s?
Yes.
It's from the moisture that you're getting out of the soil into the wood, especially when the first year or so, it's going to be more noticeable. You can just go ahead and spray that with a copper fungicide. That will help. You can also wash it down with hydrated lime.
Okay.
That will also take it off. But as the wood gets older, all the moisture out of the wood will be there, will be out, and you should have less and less of that.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
All right.
Well, have a great day.
Yeah, bye-bye. Morning, Howard Angelo.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, thanks. Fine. My Siberian irises are very tall and very straight. They have pods on them. Are they ready to be cut back?
Yep. I would go ahead and cut those back down to about 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And remove any dead foliage, especially at the bottom. Any kind of debris that's dried up at the bottom of the plant. Make sure that you remove that. I would feed them bulb tone at this time, and you're pretty well done for the year.
And my rhododendrons look very anemic. The leaves are very yellow. The last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's running out of food. I would go ahead and put some biotone on there, right on top of it, and then halitone and iron tone. Feed them heavy with that. Water that in, and it should bring the plant right back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I received a crocosmia.
Uh huh.
I started with two little leaves, and now the pot is full,
yep.
And it's just beautiful, and it's blooming.
Yep.
When can I take it out of the pot?
You can go ahead and plant that now. Yeah, they're beautiful. Whatever you planted, make sure that you give it a little bit of room, because that crown keeps expanding. Hummingbirds go nuts over that plant, so make sure that you put it in a really nice sunny area. They like dry area. They don't like to be in a wet area. So plant it in a well-drained area with sun, and that plant will just get to be better and better and better every year. Just give it some room, because it does, by room I mean give it a couple of feet so that it's got a room to grow there. But great perennial for the garden, and that plant that does extremely well.
Oh, it's beautiful.
What color is it? What color do you have?
And I did everything right with the hydrangeas, but I don't know if it's a variety or not, but the blooms all seem to be on the inside, peeking out, rather than on the outside.
Yeah, what happened was that the buds got set on the old wood, and the growth didn't elongate enough to be out, and the new growth took over. That does happen, seldom, but it's not a normal. I know it's not what you want right now, but I wouldn't touch anything there, just to let it go. And then when it comes, spring, when you go to trim the plant a little bit harder, so that, you're going to get, more of the new growth from the bottom than just from the top.
Okay. And what's the best way to apply the fungicide?
Best way is, with a sprayer. And you know, one thing that's really critical when you use fungicide, you got to make sure that you get the underneath of the foliage. If you just get the top, sometimes it doesn't do the job, but make sure that you get the underneath. So try to get under the foliage, so that, you know, you get the most out of it.
Is it good to get it into the soil around the plant?
No, it doesn't do anything in the soil. Oh, okay. It only works on the foliage.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Yeah. Bye-bye. Morning, Yara Angelo. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, two questions. One is my husband came home with two Annabelle hydrangeas from your Bainbridge store probably about a month and a half ago. I thought it was odd there were no flower buds formed. We planted them, so now it's been a month and a half. There's still no flower buds. So what's going on with those?
They will get them. Depending on when they were trimmed, that's when the buds got set. Unless they got damaged when we got that wet and cold weather in June. They will, you know, Annabelle is extremely reliable. It's a plant that blooms year in and year out. Another thing with Annabelle, you can actually keep that plant blooming all the way through the fall. But as it gets down blooming, just keep cutting the old flowers off. Go down about two nodes below the flower. It'll keep re-breaking and re-blooming. But it will bloom. It'll just be late. It really has to do with the trimming when it was trimmed, trimmed off.
Okay. Second question: we had stumps ground. I've removed all of the trimmings. And what kind of lime do we put in there? I'm actually sitting in front of our farm co-op, and I'm looking at agricultural limestone, some other. What's the lime we need?
You need hydrated lime.
Hydrated
lime. Great. And when you do that, line the inside of the hole like about almost like an eighth of an inch thick.
Okay.
And then put the soil in. One more thing about the Annabelle, as that plant gets bigger, when it comes in the spring, when it gets to be about a foot or so, that's a good idea at that time to put some little bamboo stakes around it. So it holds, the flowers are so big on them that sometimes if you get a rain, it has a tendency to kind of bend them over. If you put a little bit of a protectant around that kind of holds them up, they will do a lot better and you will enjoy them a lot more.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day. Yeah. Bye bye. Morning, Al Rangelo.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
I'm all right, but my azaleas, rhododendrons, and a few trees have a sort of bluish green blight of some kind. What can I do about that?
Well, if it's a blight, generally you can tell the blight with the leaves start to curl up and they kind of turn like an off color with a little bit of a burn at the edge of the leaf. All you can do with the blight is cut that off.
Anyway. Oh my! This is going to kill. It's killing the one rhododendron. It's mostly the looks like the color of oxidized copper. It's mostly on the wood.
The first thing I would do now, I would just spray with a fungicide. You know.
Okay.
And when you get it, to make sure that you get it underneath. Underneath you get copper, and do it like about 3 times, about 7-8 days apart. Just get it right in there, but make sure that you get the underneath that will stop it, and hopefully it's early enough to where they should be able to recuperate.
On the trees, it's right on the bark on the trunk.
You're seeing a discoloration on there.
Yes, it's kind of the color of oxidized copper, a bluish green.
Okay. Take a picture of that, and can you email it to us and put your phone number? We'll call you back. I'm going to be out of time. I'm going to be out of time over here.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll go ahead and do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day. Well, it's a beautiful day out there. Nice and cool. Looks like we're going to have some cool weather in the next few days. Good weather to be out there and be planting. One of the things that when I mentioned in the beginning, if you want to have some wonderful vegetables this fall, this is really a great time to go ahead and sow your endive, escarole, radicchio, arugula, any of the cool crops that you enjoy. You want to sow them now so that you can go ahead and transplant them at the end of August. so that you can enjoy them all the way to September, October, and November. So, you know, that's something that, you know, you have a little window to do that. And also make sure that on your perennials and your flowering shrubs, clean them up, remove the dead wood, remove the spent flowers, so that you can have a really colorful September and October in your landscape. Have a great day. Enjoy it. I'll be back next Saturday. Bye-bye.